This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min siyyati amalina min yahdihillahu falamudillala wa min yudlilu falahadila amma ba'd faqad qala rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bu'istu limutimmu masairul akhlaq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated once the summary of his message, one of the core components of the message of Islam. And he said, "Bu'istu limutimmu matha'irul akhlaq." I was sent by Allah to perfect good character. I was sent by Allah to perfect good character. This is a very important hadith that outlines for us a fundamental science of Islam that every Muslim is supposed to study and spend their lives trying to master, but one that is often forgotten in modern times. And that is the science of adab wa akhlaq, manners and character. Adab, manners, refers to the exterior, the things we do, the things we say, how we conduct ourselves in front of others. This is our manners. So to be polite is good manners. To smile is good manners. To greet is good manners. To thank people is good manners. This is our adab. Our akhlaq, our character, is internal. It's the condition of our heart. Your sincerity is your akhlaq. Your humility is your akhlaq. Your generosity is your akhlaq. These conditions of the heart is akhlaq. And you have good akhlaq and bad akhlaq. And they are opposites to each other. Sincerity is good akhlaq. Showing off is bad akhlaq. Humility is good akhlaq. Arrogance is bad akhlaq. And for every good character that appears in the heart of a believer, there is its opposite. And the struggle of the believer in this world is to spend our lives purifying it from bad akhlaq and replacing it with good akhlaq. This is something that everyone should be doing throughout their lives. You should never reach a point where you say, "Oh, I have good character, I can relax now." Because just thinking that you have better character than everybody else could be a sign of arrogance, which is bad character. You should never reach a point where you feel complacent about your character. And there are many verses of the Quran and Hadith about what is good character, what is bad character, how to go about refining your character. In fact, we could spend the whole year literally just talking about this topic. There's so much about it, we could just give over 300 khutbahs just on this topic of good character. But today's message is a simple one. And that message is, we need to revive the science in our families and our community. We need to revive the science of akhlaq. Studying the books on this topic, discussing it, teaching it to our children, working on ourselves. This needs to be something that's in our mind. When it comes to the sciences of Islam, one of the problems we've made in the modern era is that we tend to focus on only one. Right? And what's that science we tend to focus in the modern era? Fiqh. We focus on fiqh. Especially with children, right? Children going to Islamic school, very often the main thing they learn is fiqh. And when you speak to such children, you find that their entire understanding of Islam is simply a list of do's and don'ts. That Islam is just reduced to do this, don't do that. And while the fiqh is very important, in fact it is crucial and necessary that we all understand our fiqh, there are other sciences that are just as important. Remember, there are many, many sciences in Islam, and some are more important than others. Four, I would say, are most important for every believer to study. Our fiqh, our laws, our akhlaq, our character, tazkiyatun nafs, how to purify the soul, how to increase your piety, how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and aqidah. What do we actually believe, and how firm are we and convicted are we in these beliefs? These four are fundamental. And these four sciences, every Muslim should at least have a base knowledge of enough to help them to get to the next level. Other sciences supplement us. The science of tafsir, hadith, history, they all supplement us. But these four are necessary. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in many hadiths, he outlined for us the importance of akhlaq. In the one that we mentioned in the beginning of the khutbah, he said, I was sent to perfect good character. Now in the commentary on this hadith, the ulama say that if you look at the wording of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't say, I was sent to teach you good character. He said, I was sent to perfect it. Why perfect? Why not teach? The explanation is, good character is something innately known to every human being. Every human being knows you should be just. Every human being knows you should be kind. Every human being knows you should be polite. Right? You innately know the basis of what is good character. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to teach us and to model for us is the perfection of that. We all know we should be humble. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the most humble leader in the history of this world. We all know we should be generous. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the most generous man to ever walk the face of this earth. We all know you should be sincere. There is no human more sincere than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what he came and what he modeled for us was not good character, it was perfect character. It was the pinnacle. It was the level that we all should aspire towards. Right? So this is the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he modeled for us perfection in our character. So if you want to give people examples of any aspect of good character, you will find the best example in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we see the other messages where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam repeated to the Sahaba the importance of this topic. So another hadith, he said that the deed that weighs the most on the day of judgment is good manners. The deed that weighs the most on the day of judgment is good manners. We know on the day of judgment, our good deeds and our sins will be placed on a scale. And if your good deeds outweigh your sins, then you will get your book of deeds in your right hand, and that means you've passed the test, you've passed the exam, you're going straight to Jannah. Right? So how do we make sure that the book of deeds is of good deeds is heavier than the book of sins? Right? What good deeds can we do to ensure that our book of good deeds is heavier? Well, this hadith gives us the most practical solution. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the heaviest of good deeds is good manners. Good manners. This is something we take so lightly. We don't even think of it as a good deed sometimes, right? When we're thinking, okay, I need to do good deeds, we're thinking big, we're thinking large scale, we're thinking, I need to build a masjid, I need to build an orphanage, I need to, you know, establish a khilafat, whatever. We're thinking huge ideas. But sometimes it can be the smallest of good manners. Not even good manners to a human being, it can be good manners towards an animal. We know the famous hadith, right, where there was a person who was extremely sinful, and that person was walking in the desert and they saw a thirsty dog, and they went down a well and they got water and they fed the dog, and because of that Allah forgave them for all their sins. A simple act of kindness, of good character towards a dog was enough to forgive their sins. That is how heavy good manners are on the scale. That one simple act of kindness could outweigh a lifetime of sin. So imagine if every day we conduct ourselves with good manners in our dealings with the people around us. We have good manners in our homes, good manners in our family, good manners in our community, good manners in our workplaces. Imagine how heavy that would be on the scale on the last day. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving advice to Mu'adh ibn Jabal before sending him to Yemen. This would be the last time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would ever see Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Right, so if you don't know who Mu'adh was, he was one of the most beloved of the Sahaba, of the Ansar, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was one of the most knowledgeable of the Ansar about the Sharia. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose him for a very important mission. He was going to go to Yemen, where he would be established as the judge and the mufti of that area. And he would do da'wah to the people of that area. And before sending him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him some very, very important advice. Advice that remained principles of our religion that all ulama have to follow right till today. And from the advice he gave him was many different things, including, you know, the famous words, yassiru wa la tu'assiru, make things easy for the people, don't make it difficult for them, right? Bashiru wa la tunaffiru, give them good news, don't chase them away from the religion. And then what was the last sentence that he told Mu'adh ibn Jabal? The last thing he would tell him in his advice. He said, وَخَالِقُ النَّاسِ خُلْقًا حَسَنًا. Treat people with good character. Have good character in your dealings with everybody. that you, Mu'adh, are representing the message of Islam to an entire community. Make sure you represent it with good character. And many of our contemporary problems would be solved if we simply had good character. You know, when we have problems of the husband and wife fighting with each other, and when they come for counseling, very often it's just a matter of character. Someone was arrogant, or somebody doesn't know how to ask for forgiveness, or somebody doesn't know how to talk properly, or someone had bad manners. Very often it's just matters of character. If both the husband and wife have good manners and good character with each other, then most of the time things will go well. It's the same when people have problems with their children. What's the number one complaint people have about their children? Their manners and their character, right? You see, same thing at the workplace. You know, that many people, when there's complaints that, you know, my boss is a Muslim and he oppresses us, he's arrogant, he doesn't pay us on time. It's all manners and character. We improve our character, every aspect of your life improves. Your marriage, your relationship with your parents or children, your relationship with your employers or employees, your relationship in the workplace, your relationship with your neighbors, all of it improves when we have good character. Now, just some examples of what are good characters that we should inspire, that we should aspire to have. What are the most important things we should aspire to have when it comes to good character? Number one is ikhlasun niyyah, sincere intentions. That whatever we do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is number one. This is most important. The number one thing you should do for your heart is to make sure that your heart is for Allah and it is not for anybody else. That Allah comes first in your life before anyone and everything else. This is the number one aspect of akhlaq, and this is your akhlaq with Allah. Right? This is your akhlaq with your Allah, your attitude and character before your Lord. Number two, honesty. Strive to be an honest individual. Have a level of honesty where you are willing to face the consequences of your mistake by owning up to your mistake. Honesty is so important that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person will speak a lie and he will keep speaking lies until he is known as a liar. And a person may speak the truth and keep speaking the truth until he is known as the truthful. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was known as the truthful one, as the person who never spoke a lie in his life. That's why when Allah sent him the message, immediately people like Abu Bakr and Khadija and Usman and all of these people believed immediately. When you asked them why, it was, this man never lied in his life. Why would he lie about this? This is the result of being an honest person, right? That you establish that kind of a credential in society. Work on your honesty. Stay away from lying. Number three, generosity. Generosity is one of the most important characteristics of the believer. In fact, some of the early Sufi scholars used to say that generosity is the hallmark of masculinity. That you are not a man if you are not generous. Why? Because the primary role of a man in society is to provide. To provide for his family, to provide for his community. If you are not generous, you're going to make life miserable for your family. You're not going to be of any benefit to society. But if you are a generous man, your family will have a good life. And whatever extra wealth you have will go to the orphans, it will go to the poor, it will go to the establishment of Islamic centers. The entire world benefits from you. And that's what makes a man a real man in Islam. That he provides and his provisions benefit the ummah. But that only comes from generosity. You cannot be a true believer if your heart is miserly. Miserliness leads to many other sins. So make sure that we are people of generosity. And it begins with small things. It begins with small things. You know, offering somebody else to share a meal with you. Giving when you don't have much left for yourself. Just giving a little bit of what you have. Starting with the small things and building up. Generosity is one of the most important aspects of good character for every Muslim to have. Number four, courage. Courage, the Muslim must be brave. Because you need courage to stand by your principles. You need courage to represent Islam. You need courage to stand up to oppressors. You need courage to speak the truth when everybody else is afraid to speak the truth. Courage is necessary. And as Muslims, we must be from those who are brave. Because if we are not brave, then the message falters, the religion falters, we falter. So we must have courage to hold up this religion. Sincerity, generosity, honesty, courage, and number five everyone should work on, humility. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who has an atom's worth of arrogance in his heart will not enter paradise. And the Sahaba asked him, what is arrogance? He said that you look down upon others or you don't accept correction, you don't accept the truth. Remove these qualities from our hearts. that we don't accept correction. We don't want to hear the truth. That you think you're better than somebody else. A believer should never think he's better than anybody else. Remove this quality of arrogance from your heart. We must be humble. This is the way to Jannah. When you accept you are nothing more than a sinful slave of Allah, that is the level of humility we all must work towards. That I am nothing more than a sinful slave of Allah. We ask Allah to grant us good character. We ask Allah to grant us good manners. We ask Allah to bless our offspring with good character and good manners, and to make us from those who represent this religion properly. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. As important as it is for us to have good character, it is equally important that we teach it to the next generation. It is the duty of parents to teach their children akhlaq and adab, character and manners. It begins at home. And even in modern society, it's still there in the hearts of people that a person's character and manners reflect their home. Think about it. When someone is rude in public, what's the first thought that comes to people's minds? Didn't your parents teach you any manners? That's the first thought that comes to mind. Didn't your parents teach you any manners? Because it's naturally understood. Parents convey manners to the next generation. Parents convey good character to the next generation. So it is the duty of parents to teach their children manners and character. And this begins before any other education. You know, formal education begins around the age of 5 or 6. Right, Islamic education, Rasulullah said, teach your children to pray when they are 7. But akhlaq and adab starts earlier than that. As soon as they are able to understand. As soon as they are able to understand, 3 or 4 years old, you start teaching them not to lie, to be just, to be kind, to share, you know, to greet people, to say jazakallah, to say assalamu alaikum. Right, you teach them good character from as young an age as possible. And here are a few tips on how to raise a generation on good character. Tip number one, be their model. Because children learn from what you do, not what you say. So if you want your children to learn good character, you need to have good character. Now, very often, you know, we find cases where a parent has vulgar language, yet the same parent is shocked that their child speaks vulgar language. That a parent is accustomed to lying, and then they are shocked when their child lies to them. No, what you do is what they learn. How you behave is how they are going to behave. So be their model. Learn to be a person of good character and your children will follow in your footsteps. That's number one. Number two, establish a close bond of love with them so that they want to be like you, so that they want to learn from you, so they are willing to accept correction from you. Too many parents these days focus on the disciplinary side of parenting without focusing on the loving side of parenting. There needs to be both. There needs to be both. There needs to be discipline with love. We have to have that balance in the middle. So when you establish a bond of love, it's going to be easier to teach them. And it's going to be more likely that they listen to you. Number three, have family halaqat. Have times where you sit together with your family and study the religion together. And focus on books about good manners and good character. I'll recommend 2 books that every Muslim should have in their home. And every family should study together. Number one, the book Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. We are all familiar with Sahih al-Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari's masterpiece. Many of us are unaware that Imam al-Bukhari wrote many other books. His second most famous book is Adab al-Mufrad, the Book of Manners. This is a compilation of hadith and athar about good manners and good character. It's an absolutely beautiful book. And it has been translated into English. This is a book that I believe every Muslim home should have, and we should sit together as families and study this book. Because this is how your child is going to learn good character. From the hadith of Rasulullah and the statements of the Sahaba. And this book, when you look at it, it talks about, for example, chapter 1, the rights of the mother. Chapter 2, the rights of the father. Then the rights of children. How to treat your spouse, how to treat your neighbors, how to treat orphans. It's a very, very practical book and a very beautiful book. Number 2 is the book Riyadu Salihin by Imam An-Nawawi. Riyadu Salihin is more popularly known to our community because it's been translated a lot earlier. It's a much larger book, much more detailed, but it's the same theme. It's hadiths and athar about good manners and good character. And these are simple books. They're easy to read, they're easy to understand. You don't need scholarly explanation. You can sit together as a family and understand it and derive lessons from it. So I highly recommend that families have these books in their home and that they study it together. The final tip that I'll give you for raising children with good character. So we said number 1, be their model. Number 2, establish a bond of love. Number 3, have family halakat. Number 4, when they display bad character, nip it in the bud. Correct it immediately. Don't leave it. Don't say, no, it's fine, let them behave like that, we'll sort it out later, you know, they'll grow out of it on their own. No. A child does not know that they're doing something wrong until someone tells them it's wrong. Right? If a child lies, sit them down and explain to them why lying is bad. Right? And why it is better and more honest to own up to your mistake and face the punishment or consequences for your mistake than to lie about it. If you catch a child hitting another child, correct them immediately. As a Muslim, you should not do this. That a Muslim is one who other Muslims are safe from their hands and tongue. If you catch a child stealing, immediately correct them. Immediately. Don't leave things for later. When there is a mistake, correct it immediately. This is crucial for correcting character. Because what happens is, if you don't correct something immediately, mistakes become repeated. Repeated mistakes become habits. And once something is a habit, it's much harder to change it. But if you correct it the first or the second time they do it, it's more easier for them to correct themselves because it's not a habit yet. So try and fix it immediately. So to end our conversation, today we reminded ourselves about the importance of good character and of raising our children with good character. And we said some steps we can take to raising our children with good character is to be models for them, to establish a close bond of love with them, to have family study circles where we study the hadith about good character, and to correct them immediately when they make mistakes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us good character and good manners, to grant our children and all of our descendants good character and good manners, and to make us models for others. Allahumma aj'alna hadiya mahdiya. Allahumma aj'alna hadiya mahdiya. Allahumma aj'alna hadiya mahdiya. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة